The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always. As I mentioned this morning, we have a two-part sermon this afternoon. This morning we talked about overcoming temptation. What do you do when Satan dangles that fruit before you and it looks good? And it's tempting, it's enticing. What do you do? How do you overcome that? We talked about this morning how there are different types of temptation. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And there are all different kinds of temptations that fall under those three umbrellas. And we talked about some men who overcame temptation. Joseph, Daniel. We talked about a man who did not overcome the temptation. He succumbed to it. David. We talked also about the perfect example of how to overcome temptation with Christ in Matthew chapter 4. How he knew the Word. He hid the Word in his heart. And he declared the Word to Satan and told Satan to quit tempting him. He resisted, and eventually Satan fled him. And so we understand how to overcome temptation. But what about once we have succumbed? The temptation was before us. We saw the fruit that was dangling before us, and we partook, and it tasted good. And then we feel guilty. We realize that what we did was wrong. But after a while, the guilt subsides, and Satan tempts that fruit. He dangles that fruit before us again, and as tempting as it is, we taste of it again. And it tastes good. And over again, we find ourselves partaking of the fruit of sin of which we know we ought not partake, but we find ourselves becoming addicted to it. How can we overcome an addiction? Now, I know that not everybody in this audience has been addicted to something in your life. In fact, many or maybe even most of us have not suffered an addiction where we are constantly needing something that is sinful. And we know it's wrong, but we keep turning to it anyway, and we keep finding satisfaction in that rather than satisfaction in Christ. But we still need to understand that some people are suffering from addictions. Some of us in this audience today might be suffering from an addiction. We need to discuss this topic not only for ourselves, but we need to also discuss it for others. We need to realize that there are people out in the world who are suffering from all manners of addictions. When we think about addiction, what comes to our mind? First, we need to understand what addiction is not. Addiction is not occasionally slipping up, occasionally succumbing to a temptation. Addiction is not isolated incidents of sin in otherwise faithful lives. Addiction is the habitual, continual partaking of a particular sin that we partake of over and over and over and over again. We are addicted to it. We can't seem to come out of Satan's trap with such sin. Merriam-Webster Online defines addiction as a compulsive need for and use of a habit-forming substance, such as heroin, nicotine, or alcohol, characterized by tolerance and by well-defined physiological symptoms upon withdrawal. That means that the body has become used to said sin. The body has become dependent upon said sin. the body has a craving and a need for it to the point where that sin has taken control. And there are physiological symptoms when that sin cannot take place. The body begins to shake and to crave the sin. The mind becomes clouded. Judgment becomes obscured because we are so dependent on the sin. Merriam-Webster gives us a good definition. But I would add that in addition to those things that Merriam-Webster mentioned, there are many other things that we can become addicted to. Addiction is not just drugs and alcohol. Of course, drugs and alcohol would be included in addictions, but there are also things like gambling, stealing, people who habitually steal because they love the feeling that they get from stealing things, pornography, sex addiction. Also, things that are not in and of themselves sinful, but they can become sinful if we allow them to. And we become so fixated upon them that they become sin. Things like food, Coca-Cola, or Dr. Pepper, or Sprite, or Pepsi. I don't think anybody here would drink Pepsi. We're in the South. Technology, video games, shopping, working. The last few things that I mentioned are not sinful in and of themselves, but if we become addicted to those things where we literally cannot stop doing those things, then those things become sinful as well. And so there are seemingly an endless supply of things that people become addicted to in life. We need to understand what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things, that is, all things that are in the realm of opinion, non-sinful things, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul says that if there is something that is trying to take control in my life, then I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I will not allow anything, whether it's a sinful thing or whether it is something that is not sinful in and of itself but can become sinful because I'm making an idol out of it, I will not allow anything to have power over me. The main difference between the temptations that we talked about this morning versus a full-blown addiction to sin is that the temptation occurs before the sin happens. Meanwhile, an addiction takes place long after someone has become ensnared to the sin. Do you see that? We know that temptation itself is not a sin because Jesus Christ was tempted. And we know that Jesus was without sin. But when we allow ourselves to succumb to the temptation, when lust conceives and sin comes forth, as James said, as we pointed out this morning, then we sin. And if we allow sin to reign in our lives, as we're mentioning this afternoon, then we're dealing with addictions. So with that in mind, I want us to get into our discussion of addiction this afternoon. And I want to talk about overcoming addiction. First of all, we need to understand, how do we recognize that we are addicted to something? As I've already stated, addiction is not an occasional slipping up, an occasional sin, but then we immediately realize it and we repent. We pray for forgiveness and then we don't do that sin anymore. That's just sin, which is equally bad, but it's not an addiction. With addiction, a person allows himself to become chemically dependent on said sin. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, tobacco, gambling, pornography, or any of the things that we have mentioned that are not necessarily sinful, but become sinful, anything can cause someone to become chemically dependent on it. What does it mean if my brain is chemically dependent on a substance or an action? It means that I have gotten a high, a feeling from the chemicals released in my brain when I did such and such sin. There are chemicals in the brain such as dopamine, which releases a feeling of pleasure. And if we are participating in a certain sin, and then during that sin, we find ourselves receiving pleasure from said sin, dopamine can be released in the brain, and it causes that feeling of pleasure. It causes a feeling of high, but then as the chemical wears off, it can cause a feeling of being low. And interestingly, scientists have found that people who become addicted to things need increasing levels of these chemicals in order to receive the same level of pleasure in their brain. And so they fall into a trap, a continuous cycle of over and over again succumbing to the sin. The person needs more and more drugs. The person needs more and more alcohol, more and more gambling, in order to receive the same feeling. You can see then how an addiction can cause us to fall into a trap. So that is the very basic description of how addiction works. It's fairly easy to see if somebody is addicted to something because of the bodily response. Just watch their behavior. Do they become extremely irritable when they haven't had access to their drug of choice? Do they become compulsive or obsessive over said activity to the point that they begin to lose control of themselves? They can't think clearly. Do they become erratic and increasingly irresponsible? Do they do and say things that they normally wouldn't do and say? If so, then you're dealing with an addiction. What are some other signs of addiction? The person may resort to extreme means to hide what they're doing. The person will have visible evidence of his chemical dependence on the sin. Things like shaking, excessive sweating, confusion, irritability, redness of the face, redness of the eyes. The person may exhibit a sudden extreme change in his character or his demeanor. All of these are important signs that someone is battling an addiction. And we need to realize these signs. We need to be on the lookout for them. But how can we help somebody who is suffering from an addiction? Isn't it our Christian duty to help people who are suffering from addictions? Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Romans 15:1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. The context of that is actually talking about those who are weak in the faith. They've got conscience problems. But we can certainly see how that text would also apply in the realm of addictions. The strong helping those who are weak. It's a Christian principle. James 5:19-20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall cover or hide a multitude of sins. There are people out there in the world who are suffering from addictions. They are suffering from a multitude of sins. And they're weighing them down, and they're keeping them from being what they ought to be. And so we must realize the need to seek them and convert them, to bring them to Christ. Let's talk about some verses. Some verses that can help us and can help others who might be battling addictions. We've already mentioned that the Bible teaches that we are not to allow anything or any substance to have power over us. But what are some good verses that show the consequences of addictions? Because those who are addicted to things, they need to understand the ramifications of their addiction so that they can realize the harm that they are doing for themselves and the harm that they are doing to the people that they love, so that they can realize, I've got to stop this. I've got to get well. I've got to get better. What are the ramifications of addictions? For the sex addict. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Proverbs 6:26. That says that that man who is looking for that outside of the place where God intended it in marriage, he won't be able to stop until he has been brought to nothing. For the alcohol addict, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20:1. Alcohol is deceptive. It looks good in the cup, but it is deceptive because it leads to all kinds of tragedies and despair and heartache. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Isaiah 5:11. Alcohol will consume them. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of the eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. Proverbs 23:29-30. Alcohol will make you sick. Alcohol will make you miserable. And alcohol will make you disagreeable to where you can't get along with anybody. For the gambling addict. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You don't need to seek those worldly riches, those distractions, those things that you might set your affections on, not realizing that you're taking your eyes completely off the mark, taking your eyes off of Christ. The gambling addict, all he can think about is, I need more money so I can go and put another quarter in the slot machine. And to any other addict, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Romans 6:26. Let me ask you this. Are you a servant or a slave to Christ, or are you a slave to sin? The other people that we might be thinking about who perhaps are dealing with addictions in their lives, are they a servant to Christ? They're servants, slaves to sin. John 8:34, Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or slave of sin." That word committeth, indicating continual, habitual sin in their lives. They are a slave to it. That sounds exactly like an addiction. And so we see the consequences of addiction, and we compare them to the blessings that we can have in Christ. And being in Christ wins. Addiction is nothing but heartache and disappointment. Being in Christ, when we reach that inheritance that He has given for us, is going to be even better than we can imagine. But let's talk about some additional tools or resources for those who are dealing with addiction. Because you can't overcome an addiction very easily by yourself. In fact, I would say you need help if you're suffering from an addiction. Those who we may know who are dealing with addictions, they need help to get out of that trap, the pit that they have dug for themselves. They can't climb out because it's so deep, and so we need to help them to make it out. There are many different resources, both in the church as well as in the secular world, who can help people who are suffering from addictions. One that I think about is what's called an accountability partner. Somebody who we know and trust, I would say a Christian, who you know will be confidential and will help you as you're struggling. And you can confide in them and say, "I've been dealing with this. Please, can you pray for me and can you help me?" An accountability partner might be an elder. An accountability partner might be a trusted church member, a preacher, or maybe a parent, or maybe a spouse. Somebody who can be trusted to help you come out of the trap of sin. Books and other literature. There have been countless books and magazine articles and internet resources and videos even that have been dedicated to the subject of addiction. How we can help people escape from the grasp of Satan's trap. One such example is a book that I have in my library written by a brother in Christ called Pressing Forward, How to Deal with Addictions. And I'd be willing to share that with anybody here today. Another resource, professional help from those who are licensed practitioners of addiction therapy and things of that nature. Perhaps counseling, rehabilitation programs are available to help those who are struggling. Now, these options, granted, usually cost money, quite frankly, and they can be quite expensive. But I can tell you this, no money in the world is more important than coming to grips with an addiction and getting rid of it. And so if that's what is needed, then we certainly should be willing to spend the money needed to come to grips with addictions. Another resource, support groups. Things like Alcoholics Anonymous or other groups who come together and try to help one another with their struggle. Sometimes there are groups such as this on social media that you can join to help you be accountable for whatever you might be dealing with. What about an ad blocker? This would be particularly for someone who's struggling with lust. An ad blocker, something that blocks those from even showing up on your computer or your phone. Protective software. There are also certain websites that you can use, such as covenanteyes.com, which will help you block those things and will also give you support for those things. There are many resources that we can use to help those who are suffering from addictions. I believe that we need to do a better job of letting people know about the dangers of addictions, and we need to do a better job about reaching out to those who are struggling. Some of the best contacts you might find for turning lives around and turning people to Christ might be people who are suffering from addictions. And they're so desperate, they need help, and we need to be the ones to go to them and help them. Whether we are talking about temptations or addictions, we all struggle with something. There's not a person in this room who is of an accountable age who doesn't struggle with something, at least temptations, and maybe addictions. But Jesus said that He was going to be there for us, and if we are weary and heavy laden, we can turn to Him and He will give us rest. Matthew 11:28-30. If you're struggling with temptation or if you're struggling with addiction, you need to think about that, and you need to realize that you need to put all of your emphasis and everything you have, all of your focus and dedication needs to turn to Christ and ask somebody to help you, to be an accountability partner. Use some of the other resources. Study God's Word and use it to proclaim the truth of God's Word when the devil comes to you and tempts you and dangles that fruit before you. Do those things and you can overcome temptation and you can overcome addiction. Think about these things this afternoon. And I hope that if there's anyone here this afternoon who is struggling in any way, I hope that I've said some things that will encourage you to take the steps to make your life right before God. Think about that this afternoon. And if there's someone here who wants to take the step, the most important step, which is to become a disciple of Christ, this afternoon, please do that. You can put on Christ in baptism, and your sins can be washed away. Acts 22:16. If there's someone here who's struggling, whatever the case may be, whatever you're struggling with, and you want to come and ask for prayers from this congregation, please understand that you can do that as well. Please think about these things, and if you need to respond, please do so as together we stand and sing.
You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.